From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Back from a week off, rested and recuperated from Electric Force Festival. Got to see several friends of the show, including Pretty Lights, Break Science, 12th Planet, Yoto, and many more. We at the Unts had a hell of a time, and I want to thank String Cheese Incident, Madison House, and Insomniac Events for their hospitality and for doing things right. My guest today is super slappy, low-end, heavyweight Freak Bass, known for his high-profile collaborations with Buckethead, Bernie Worrell, and Bootsy Collins. This funk bassist has actually been producing electronic music almost as long as he's been playing the four string. Growing up with an MPC 2000, Freak Bass has had complete creative control over his entire sound, putting out four studio albums with a laundry list of names in the music industry. With his latest release, Concentrate, Freak Bass steps out as an electronic force with his producer DJ Tobadius of the legendary DMC Champions Animal Crackers. As Freakbot, Tobadius and Freak Bass combine old school turntablism with frenetic slap bass and modern production techniques. In this first half of a two-part episode, Freak Bass discusses his early development and his introduction to funk and electronic music. Today's show is brought to you by Big Pig Music and Arts Festival, taking place September 30th through October 2nd in Ripley, Ohio, at the beautiful Pisgah Hill Farms, just an hour east of Cincinnati on the Ohio River. Guess you could paddle against the current in a canoe or boat from the Queen City if you really wanted to see some mighty fine electronic music from the likes of Break Science, U-Matic, DJ Technician, DJ Dublocks, $6 Suit, No I Bond, and of course my guest, Freak Bass, as Freakbot with DJ Tobadius. Tickets are on sale now at BigPigMusicFestival.com for the low, low price of $30. Make sure you close out summer right and don't hurt your wallet in the process. One of the headliners at this year's Big Pig Festival is Cincy's own Ski Tones, good friends of the show and friend of my guest, Freak Bass. They've collaborated a number of times, both live and in the studio. We'll hear more of that on tomorrow's episode, but first, let's check out a Ski Tones track from their latest full-length release, Retrospective. Retrospective, the title track from the latest Ski Tones release. Here's the interview with Freak Bass.
As you are such a proficient and technical musician, I think it's appropriate that we begin by delving into your background. What sure. was Wee Baby Freak Bass listening to? What kind of sound did you grow up on? Classic rock, hip-hop, R&B, soul?
You know, obviously, being from Cincinnati, you know, no secret, obviously, funk was a huge influence. Cincinnati, you know, it's a pretty strange town. It's very conservative in a lot of ways, but there's always been this huge hotbed of funk artists through every generation, you know, going all the way back to the 1960s with James Brown. Now, James Brown wasn't from Cincinnati. He was from Augusta, Georgia. But King Records, his record label, was here. So, you know, all the big, you know, the majority of the big James Brown hits, you know, were recorded right here in Cincinnati. So, you know, you had James Brown in the 60s, you know, into the early 70s, and then, you know, that's, you know, how Bootsy Collins obviously got discovered. He's from Cincinnati as well. And then you went in the 70s, Bootsy Collins, into the 80s with the groups like Zap, of course, Ohio Players, Midnight Star. It just went on and on. So, you know, being a bass player growing up, you know, while a lot of my friends were, you know, when we were kids listening to, you know, Nirvana or Green Day or whatever, I was always drawn more towards either funk, and I was a huge, huge hip-hop. You know, I was really into like Dr. Dre and, the early Snoop Dogg stuff, you know, so as a bass player, that's always, you know, those records, the funk records, hip hop records were always, the bass was kind of way more out in front and in your face. And those were the records that I was always, kind of drawn to as a kid.
Sure. I mean, besides maybe Barry Larkin or Jerry Springer, you're one of Cincinnati's favorite sons. Tell me about the scene now. How does the city musically keep you on the cutting edge or keep itself on the cutting edge? What's going on now to sort of be, while it does have this rich history, still a very fertile hotbed of music?
Well, the nice thing, over the last few years, a lot of people, you know, people around the city have really started to embrace it. Besides, in you know, the funk or R&B genre, you know, there's some really great groups like Heartless Bastards, you know, going back a few years with bands like Afghan Whigs, you know, more in the alternative rock genre, Over the Rhine, which is, you know, they're kind of more of kind of a folk kind of, you know, adult contemporary type of group, but they're very successful. There's a pretty, you know, rich and history of and good music scene here. The big thing is with Cincinnati being more on the smaller side of cities, is it seems like most of the bands that kind of make their mark, you have to tour. You know, there's a lot of big fish in the small pond type thing, where you have this great band, and they just kind of, you know, play in Cincinnati for a few years and have this great run, and then, you know, they don't get out of Cincinnati, and that they just kind of fade away a little bit. But the bands that seem to continue on and make a mark are the ones that tour a lot. You know, we're 8 or 9 hours from New York City. We're 5 or 6 hours from Chicago, 6 hours from Atlanta, Georgia. So it's very centrally located in terms of the eastern half of the country. And, sure. You know, it's fairly cheap to live here, too. So that's one of the advantages of being a musician, is you can, you know, if you are going to kind of make this home, it's easy to tour out of here. It's something you almost have to do, depending on where you want to go with your music.
Dream Pit from Freakbase's latest studio release, Concentrate. Let's get back to the interview.
Let's dig back into the technical aspect of your playing.
Sure.
Was it bass from day one, or did you bang around with other instruments as a kid?
Yeah, I started off as actually, and it's funny you said bang, because I actually did start off as a drummer. That was, you know, the rhythmic side of music, you know, was always the thing that kind of sucked me in to begin with. And so, you know, I started banging on some pots and pans, and eventually actually got a drum set and, you know, banged around that for a while. Then kind of moved on to guitar for a little bit, which, you know, I still play some guitar as well now, but bass almost seemed like the most logical, you know. I remember as a kid saying, as it sounds crazy, I don't know if I even told anybody this, but I remember when a kid in one of my math books, that there was actually a bass on the cover, and it was like, for some reason, I was almost like drawn to it, you know, even physically looking at it, I was like, so, guitars always seem kind of, even to me now, like when I play them, they always seem, I mean, I love guitar, but they always seem kind of too delicate for, I've got kind of, I feel like I was going to like break it or something like that if I played it too hard, you know, where bass was kind of like more, you know, thick strings, and, you know, you could kind of, you know, whack at it, and it just seemed, and probably from being starting off as a drummer, just seemed kind of more of a natural kind of thing for me to play.
And it's not surprising at all that you were a drummer, because you have a very distinct percussive style of slap bass, almost like you're playing a bottomed out harpsichord. Did you always yearn for that particular sound, or did you achieve it through years of trial and error? Did you have a gospel bass phase or a smooth Victor Wooten phase?
Oh, right. Well, I definitely went through my Jaco Pastorius phase. I mean, I think every bass player goes through their Jaco phase, you know, kind of like, I guess if you play basketball, you get through a Michael Jordan phase or something.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely developed. I mean, a lot of the technique that I do now, which is, it's kind of semi-unconventional, and it's funny because I do some teaching privately of bass, and I tell my students a lot of times that there's a few things that I do with my technique that when I first started kind of doing it, especially when in terms of my slap style and some of the stuff that I do with my thumb on my right hand, I actually stopped doing it for a while because I was so caught up in like, oh wait, this is not correct. This is, you know, this is not the way you're supposed to do. You know, I was kind of like learning by rules and.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I went on, I was like, well, you know, this thing I'm doing sounds kind of neat. It's kind of, you know, has kind of a thing to it. So it's definitely been an evolution in terms of my playing, in terms of evolution style. And then, you know, I've always been drawn to, as well as rhythm, you know, sounds have always been a bit, you know, besides being a drummer, I'm always either been, you know, kind of a frustrated DJ/keyboard player. You know, it's always been the soundscapes. And, you know, I always say that, you know, I'm been all around so much DJ culture, a lot of times it's, you know, the only difference is instead of having a turntable, I happen to have a bass in my hand. And so because of that, I've always been attracted to different effect pedals, you know, it's different sounds of like what all sounds can I get out of my bass. So between that and the kind of unconventional technique I have, I think it just kind of evolved into this hodgepodge of, you know, manicness, I guess you could say, when I play, you know.
That's right, and while you're predominantly known as a bass player, you started making electronic music and beats early on in your career.
Yeah, I mean, I started, you know, it's funny, you know, I'm, you know, mostly known for playing live and doing live because I've been touring for so long, but, you know, I started off as a total studio rat, you know, recording, and, you know, I have there's a piece by Akai called the MPC 2000.
Sure.
Which, yeah, you know, love it to get to death, and that's, you know, still even today, it's still kind of my baby, and I know that machine, and it's like another half of my brain, and, you know, putting beats together and sampling and putting grooves together and sampling my bass lines and doing, you know, crazy things with that. You know, this is like pre Ableton days, you know, and then Ableton came along and kind of changed everything, but. So that's always been, you know, and when I started off before, you know, a lot of times the traditional thing is for bands to, you know, tour for a few years and then they're like, okay, we got these cool songs from touring, let's go in the studio and, you know, and try to make a record out of it. And with me, it was kind of almost the opposite. I almost was, you know, started off in the studio and had these songs and it's like, okay, well, how am I going to do these live? And then that was kind of like saying, okay, you know, how do I treat these songs live? And a lot of times over the years, you know, it's been more about with my live stuff. It's like, you know, different treatments of it live, whether it being with a full band, trying to have every instrument represented like actually live, or more of an electronic element, which is kind of what I'm touring with now with me and DJ Tobadius, which is more of you know DJ and bass type situation. So yeah, so that's kind of been the way it's kind of evolved in that direction.
Let's move away from Freak Bass for just a moment. Grammatic, the latest artist to sign to Pretty Lights Music, has just released a free album on the PLM label. Beats and Pieces Volume 1 is out today at prettylightsmusic.com. Here's Skylight. Grammatic with Skylight from his Pretty Lights Music debut, Beats and Pieces Volume 1. Let's keep it in the PLM family with Break Science, who you can catch at Big Pick Music Festival at the end of September.
If there was ever a civilization that looked like a soon-to-be-lost civilization, then that civilization is ours.
that sees mankind as the focus of a kind of cosmic struggle between the forces of light and the forces of God.
Of Antiquity from Break Science's debut album Further Than Our Eyes Can See. Let's get back to Freakbase.
Let's talk about all of your musical collaborations, or as many of them as we can, because they really seem to shape your career as well as your sound. First of all, tell me about your first encounter with legendary Parliament and James Brown and rubber band bass god Bootsy Collins. That must have been like the equivalent of meeting, I don't know, the president of awesomeness for a young funk bassist.
It was pretty special, there's no doubt. I mean, basically, to give you the Cliff Notes version, the way it kind of went down is one of Bootsy's singers, a guy named Gary Mudbone Cooper, he was doing there's a label over in Japan called P-Vine Records, which is like kind of a funk and soul label, and they were doing a Jimi Hendrix tribute record. It was all different funk artists from, you know, George Clinton, P-Funk, Ohio Players, et cetera, doing songs written about Jimi Hendrix. It wasn't like a cover covering Hendrix song. It was like basically artists writing songs about Hendrix or how he influenced them, and et cetera. So anyway, okay. So Gary Cooper, Mudbone Cooper, was doing a track with Michael Hampton, who's one of the guitar players from P-Funk, and he asked me if I wanted to come play bass on it. You know, he'd heard about me around town being a kind of crazy bass player, and so we got to know each other, and I said, you know, of course, you know, I'd be honored to do the track. And I said, and I just kind of off the cuff, I said, well, where are we recording it at? And he's like, oh, we're doing it out of Bootsy. He's going to engineer and produce it. Just kind of off the cuff. And I was like, what? You know, it's kind of like the cartoon thing where they do the, you know, the double take thing. And
the eyes bug out of the head.
Yeah, exactly. Fred Flintstone style. And so anyway, so we went out to Boots, and we just right off the bat really hit it off really well. And, you know, the session went great. And a few days later, he called me up and he said, hey, do you want to come out here and, you know, maybe start writing some songs and doing some studio work together? And that's kind of where that was kind of the beginning of the relationship.
And at that point, you had just been kicking around in maybe local acts or stepping out as a solo musician, just popping up here and there and
exactly.
In maybe dives or smaller theaters?
You got it, exactly. I was just kind of banging around Cincinnati, you know, occasionally Columbus or, you know, Indianapolis, which is kind of close to where Cincinnati is. But, I mean, yeah, generally in this area, and I was just kind of starting to, you know, try to get my name out there a little bit.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And I hate to do it, but I'd kick myself if I didn't ask, does Buckethead smell like fried chicken in person? Because it's either that or it's like brimstone or some sort of evil burning sensation.
You know, I never got a good whiff of Bucket. Next time I see Bucket, I'll have to. We're playing a show at the end of the month at a place called Shammy Bash here in Ohio, a music festival. So I'll have to, when he's not looking, I'll have to get a big sniff, I guess.
Is it intimidating to play with these amazingly just technical artists? Not only are they creative geniuses, but they have these very rigorous fundamentals. And, I mean, obviously, you're not going to be blown out of the water because you possess those too. But, I mean, even to this day, is it like you think about it like, oh shit, I'm getting on stage with Buckethead right now? Or is it just like, it's time to go to work?
I would say instead of more intimidating, I'd say maybe a better word might be inspiring. You know, I mean, you're always got that nervous energy whenever you play with anybody or in front of anybody. So that's always there, that adrenaline. But, But yeah, well, you know, the second you start playing with some of the people you mentioned and some other folks I've had the honor of playing with, you know, it's, you know, music is so, you know, so much osmosis that you just kind of, you know, ride off of their energy and their vibe and their artistic, you know, energy as well. So it's always obviously a treat, as you can imagine, and any nervousness that you might have or uncomfort, it's once you actually start playing, that seems to go away fairly quickly.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the UNS Podcast. Tomorrow we pick up where we left off with Freak Bass. We discuss his various side projects with luminaries from across the industry, as well as his latest album, Concentrate. We're going out today with When You're Finished from that release. We need volunteers for the UNS Street Team at All Identity Festival stops between August 11th and September 10th. If you'd like to help us out, please contact Avi at theunts.com. Remember, today's episode was brought to you by Big Pig Music and Arts Festival. You can get tickets on sale for $30. They're going to go up to $40 at the gate on September 30th, but you can get them now for $30 at bigpigmusicfestival.com. Again, Break Science, Freak Bot. We also have Soul Live and Lettuce from Royal Family Records. It's going to be a great festival. bigpigmusicfestival.com. Let's get an update of contests from theunts.com. We just added a brand new Chicago contest, the Lollapalooza Dubstep After Party featuring 12th Planet, 16-Bit and Richie August of Hulk. We've got Glitch Mob and 412 Producers contest tickets in Pittsburgh, and you can still win festival passes for Camp Barefoot, Liberate, and North Coast Music Festival, among others. Just go to theunts.com, sign up, click on contests, and enter to win. We've made it as simple as can be, I promise. Please visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at onant@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunts.com. We'll catch you tomorrow.